Okay, good evening YouTube. Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family. First things first, I've caught this right up, haven't I? I put the live stream on at the same time as the Champions League final is a massive error.
I won't have this.
Why?
Well, it's not our fault. Do they not know?
UEFA should know.
Do they not know this is family time?
UEFA should bloody know. I don't care what Neymar and Mbappé, I don't care.
Get a grip, UEFA, please. Sort it out.
Listen, first things first, anyone that's either watching us at the same time as the Champions League final or is watching us instead of the Champions League final, about 30 people have just gone, bloody hell, I forgot about the final. just gone down 30 viewers.
You just lost everyone.
Anyone that's watching us at the same time as the Champions League final or indeed instead of the Champions League final, thank you, we love you, thank you for joining us. I don't know how many, we've got to see how many people we've got in, Sam. I don't know what even the number looks like right now. 85 people in. 85. Wow. Thank you very much, guys, for joining us. I'm assuming that
it's
most...
all the City fans. It's all the... that don't care anymore.
The bitters. Yeah, the bitters.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care. We're not in it.
It's only the two, biggest clubs in the world right now potentially going head-to-head in a massive, you know, 90 minutes with lots of different rhetoric around Lewandowski not won a trophy yet, Neymar not won it yet.
Doesn't affect us, does it? No Liverpool, no Spurs, no FPL assets.
No FPL, who cares?
I mean, what's the point?
What's the point? Even I was quite enjoying the first half an hour watching Thiago, who hoping he's going to come to Liverpool at some stage. But guys, listen, thank you for joining us tonight. I'm going to assume that a lot of people are going to be watching the replay, I'm hoping. So if you're in here tonight, thank you. If you're watching the replay after the Champions League final or in the day subsequent to the Champions League final, thank you very much for tuning in after the game. I'm Lee, this is Sam, we're FPL Family. We come on YouTube 8:30 every single Sunday night and we'll be live every single Sunday up until the Premier League kicks off and then again once the football is going. So we're here, this is our regular slot, 8:30. If you're new to the channel, hit that subscribe button. We're nearly at 11,000, by the way.
Do you know, it doesn't feel
subscribers
like
subscribers gone a little bit up in the last few days. Great.
And we went out the other night and we were talking on the way there. And we were like, it doesn't feel like that long ago that we were saying, oh, we're so close to 10K.
Yeah.
So close to 10K. And then all of a sudden, it's like, we're at 11K, didn't we?
Yeah, tell you what. And I tell you what, one of the things is our new FPL X videos. One thing I just need to talk to the guys about is our new FPL X videos, as well as the live streams every Sunday 8:30. You know, hit subscribe, you get notified when we're on, in case you lose track of time on a Sunday night. But all of it, we'll have lots of different videos on our channel this year, the FPL X videos, which are designed to be a little bit shorter. I got talking to Raptor and I just couldn't stop, guys. Honestly,
what
I was like,
Raptor and his ear chewed.
I said to Ross at the beginning of it, we'll do about 20-25 minutes, Ross, if we can. And I just kept going. And guys, forgive me, the video ended up being like 55 minutes long. But for those of you that tuned in and watched the very first ever FPL Family X video with FPL Raptor last week, thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed watching it as much as I did recording it. I absolutely loved it. And if you're not following Ross on Twitter, at FPL_Raptor, go follow him over on Twitter. His Twitter following has gone from 0 to 60 in no time at all. He's at like 5.5K or something already. Doing really, really good stuff. And that video, I loved it. And hopefully you guys enjoyed it.
I'm pretty sure Lee loves Raptor more than does me at the moment.
It's possible.
His love affair with Raptor... And to be fair, so I'm on Wednesday morning when that original Raptor video came out, I sat and watched it on YouTube because I hadn't seen it. We do the X videos, just one of us, with... another member of the community.
Yeah.
So I hadn't watched it or listened to it yet. And I sat down and listened to it when it premiered on YouTube.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah. And we've turned it into a podcast as well. So if you don't want to sit in front of YouTube for 50 minutes, get onto Spotify, get onto SoundCloud, Deezer, all those places where you get your podcasts, Apple Music. We're on those formats too. And you can listen to it as a podcast. Now, we've cheated a little bit with the second FPL Family X video coming at you next Wednesday, because we will be doing... round two with FPL Raptor. So we have got lots of new people in the pipeline. We've got a few we're not going to tell you about right now, but some exciting, really exciting, one that we think we lined up yesterday, really exciting, yeah. FPL Family X videos coming at you over the next few weeks, not just before the season starts, but when the season kicks off as well. We're hoping to do more of these. If you want to be in an FPL Family X video and you've got something interesting to talk about, like Raptor did with the managerial psychology, then of course, DM us, get in touch with us. We'd love to hear your thoughts. But FPL Raptor Part 2 coming next Wednesday, when we will be talking about the three new boys. Bielsa, Parker, I say new boys. Bielsa's been around for years, isn't he? But the three newly promoted teams. Bielsa, Parker and Slaven Bilic, West Brom, Leeds and Fulham. We'll be talking about those managers, and in particular, Marco Bielsa's bit on that video is awesome. I can't wait for you guys to watch that. I thought he was an enigmatic, brilliant character, and then Raptor put some, like, his management thinking and leadership philosophy around it in the way that Raptor does, and it just took it to a whole new level for me with Bielsa. Mm. I cannot wait to see Bielsa in the league next year. I think he's going to be such good value.
So the X videos will be out on Wednesdays. If we've got one to come out that week, it will come out on a Wednesday. So
yeah,
make sure you subscribe so that on Wednesdays when the X videos appear, you'll get done.
You'll know. Might not be every week.
Might not be every week, or there might be for a while because we've got a few
in the pipeline, haven't we? We've got a few coming up, but yeah, it might not be every week. But when they are, you'll see them on there if you hit that subscribe button. So go over there and do that. Right, Sam, let's go to the main page. There's our Twitter on the left-hand side, at FPL Family. Nearly, guys, at 30,000 on Twitter. So we've got only a few hundred to go. So if you're not following us on Twitter, at FPL Family, Instagram at FPL Family as well. And of course, we're on Facebook if you search for FPL Family. You mustn't forget the Facebook. Let's say hello to a few people. You absolute legends that are here watching us instead of the Champions League final, or indeed as well as the Champions League final. Nathan Price is here. How are we doing, Nathan? Very nice to see you. And I'm sure, by the way, the live chat will be keeping us up to date with the Champions League final scores. I'm pretty sure. Matt Rigby, how are we doing, Matt? He's saying, what's everybody's good FPL names? There was a bit of a chat going on before we started, Sam, about best in the Alderweireld.
Excuse me, mine...
Your team name for this season?
I don't understand why you have such a problem with it. I believe it's
mixed reaction on the live chat, I have to say.
I believe it's because you are jealous.
Jealous, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Of Toby.
You're jealous. Yes, of course.
Because my team's not named after you.
Get in the live chat, guys. Let us know your team names. Worst team name wins. Worst team name wins. If you can do worse than best in the Alderweireld, you'll be doing well. Ryan Bird is here. Good evening, he says. Good evening, Ryan. Nice to see you. FPL Tips is in. Harry's moderating for the first time tonight. So FPL Tips.
Ooh,
thank you, Harry,
Harry,
for moderating. Spotted a little bit of naughty language on the last live stream. And I said, listen, Tips, well done for policing that. Here's some power, Harry. Have the power to deal with it, Harry. So Harry's now moderating.
Actually,
so.
I did see Harry dealing with some stuff in the video the other day.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I did. And yeah. I just assumed that Harry'd always been a mod.
What? No, he's now got the power to do this. So Harry, thank you for
Harry
becoming...
Harry should have been a mod ages ago.
He should
he's
have,
always
be
here.
Yes, he should have. So Harry, thank you for becoming an FPL Family moderator. Georgie Gorgieff is in. He says, hi, how are we doing, Georgie? Kalan Kotzen, hello from South Africa. He says, hey, Kalan, how are you doing? Let's see, Kane Cole is in. Anybody got Ziyech in for 8 million? Got Ziyech in? Tempting it. Tempting.
Do you know what? We'll talk about this later when we talk about our team. So I've got so many issues.
Yeah. Now, well, this is, I should have said this
I've
at the
so
beginning.
Many
right?
issues.
The main focus of this video is the fixtures. Right? Should have said this 10 minutes ago, guys. The fixtures, obviously, when we were here last Sunday, we were picking players based on price. Now we've got fixtures, which came out, just a few days ago? Thursday morning,
yeah,
wasn't
Thursday.
It? Thursday morning. So we now have some context to the player prices, and we can start to tinker with a bit more certainty, if you can ever say certainty in FPL. But we can start to evaluate our player prices in context.
Uh-huh.
And of course, game week one, you're quite right, starts off with a blank for Manchester United, Man City, Aston Villa and Burnley. So, no, you know, we're so used to going into these FPL seasons with... nice, you know, back-to-back regular game weeks every single week. And we ease ourselves in and we wait until Christmas and the second wildcard before you go blank hunting and double game week hunting and using your triple captain chip and stuff. All of a sudden, bang, straight in. Blank game weeks, potential wildcards in game weeks 2 and 3. I've been hearing about people taking free hits in game week 1 and setting their team up for game week 2. It's like, it's gone absolutely bonkers. I don't even know.
I don't think you can free hit in game week 1.
I don't even know, Sam. I don't even know. But listen, all I do know is that we will need to use our FPL nous from the outset because we've got blank game weeks to have to navigate. I have to say, those that are thinking of the early wild card, I can't help but think that keeping that in your pocket is going to be a very good thing to do, isn't it? Well, keeping that, but you've got 16 game weeks where... who knows what's going to happen? We don't know if we're going to get second waves of COVID. We don't know if we're going to get games postponed. We don't really know when the Man City and Manchester United games from game week 1 are going to be rearranged. They might probably going to be a bit later in the season. But listen, all that to be discussed, guys. We'll talk about fixtures and we'll talk about our latest drafts as well and where we are with that. You've actually done a draft now, haven't you? Rather than having Ozil in your team.
So basically, I don't want to call it bullying, but I kind of got bullied into doing a draft by somebody going, you need to have a draft. You can't keep having Ozil.
I've been saying all week, I want to have a look at our first draft. So you've just thrown together a draft.
So there is a draft, and it's one of them drafts where, because I've been kind of, there's so many players I want in there that aren't in there, so I'll discuss this when we get to it.
There we go.
I mean, it's the bare bones of a draft anyway.
Yeah, so we've got drafts, we've got fixtures, we've got talking points, and we've got some cracking team names, Sam, in the live chat. We've got to talk about these. Here we go. Let's have a look at some of these. Jack Cousins is in. Aubameyang a must. More on him a bit later on. More
what
on
is
him
that
a
his team name? Aubameyang's a must.
Aubameyang's a must. That's his team name. Let's see. Azzy with the super chat. Hey, Azzy, how are we doing? Werner's originals.
I quite like that. Quite like
that. All right.
Quite like that.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. Southampton triple up. So right or so wrong, Azzy says. A Saints triple up.
It's got to be KWP, Stevens and Ings.
Ooh. Ooh. Could be McCarthy. Could be Ings. Could be Che Adams, who's popular over here, by the way. Azzy, tell us who your Saints triple up would be, mate, and we'll ask the live chat what they think about the Southampton triple up. Jeff Holt is in. How are we doing, Jeff? A nice little Werner, he says. That's just good, right?
Why is everybody why have we all got obsessed with Werner? We've only been out two. They're both from the same
Cracker
player.
Jack, Werner in a million.
Oh my god!
That's all about Werner.
It's all about Werner. That could be one.
Any Gabrielle Langton, Lionel Tidy. Okay, let's see. Any good team names, guys, that don't involve Mark Dorney, Marky Five and Dombalays. Okay. Dynamite Dongs, Kloptomaniacs FC. I like that. That's good. Yeah, that's good. Dread FPL, Bomb Flick Pon Matip. Okay.
What's going on with these two?
Sean Thorpe is in. Hey, Sean, he's saying me, Moy, Delph, and Ibe.
Brilliant.
That's great. That's great. I love it. This is great. These are all 100% better than best in the Alderweireld.
To be clear, it's actually just best in Alderweireld because in the doesn't fit.
It's just best in Alderweireld. So rubbish. Clayton is saying, a bummer, blood clot, Yang FC. Obviously an Arsenal FC fan there, Clayton. Hoping you're a gooner. FPL Flynn, Hotel Tiago is mine. Nice. Okay, very good. Varangor is saying, setting new trends. This is quite good. Jack Cousins, Netflix and FPL. These are so bad. There's not even like some half decent ones. These are so bad. FPL tips, Corn Etu. Etu's never even been in the Prem, has he? Oh, might have done a stint, I don't know.
Why isn't he naming it after Chelsea if he's a tips? No, it's tips. Why is it not a Chelsea name?
I don't know. Hannah Dorfling, Hanno Dorfling, who is one of our new patrons, by the way.
Yeah.
Robocop. Not much to say about that.
I like that one. I quite like that.
Of course, got to find some more, guys. We've got to find some more of these terrible, terrible names.
What, and Little Beauties is so much better.
Little Beauties I've had for 12 years worth of FPL. I ain't changing it now. I had that when I was in my 20s, 12 years ago. Gaz Temple. Hey, Gaz. He's in. His team name is it's Gaz Alkmaar. And rather than AZ Alkmaar, he's put a G on the front and it's GAZ Alkmaar. Gaz Alkmaar. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. And Jason Correz is in. Hey, Jason. He's just saying triple captain Simicats in ring one. You've gone mental, guys. Wow, officially,
is that his team name?
Officially, you guys have gone absolutely mental. Werner the Burner, Bissouma Lallana, Beelzebul, Reese's set pieces. It's great tonight. It's great. It's already descended into chaos, Sam. It's already descended into chaos.
Reese's what?
Reese's set pieces.
I love that. That's
Reese's
brilliant.
Set pieces. That's good, isn't it? Right, we actually do have to talk. We have to give some FPL content at some stage tonight. You appreciate that?
We have. We're just giving everybody who's listening to the podcast a load of ideas for team names if they haven't decided yet.
Well, listen, there we go. There is the Twitter on the left-hand side. If you're not following us over there, we'd love you to do that. Nearly at 30k, as I said before. Let's talk about
FPL
fixtures. So what I've done is I've gone into Fantasy Football Scout. So those of you that are members on Fantasy Football Scout can go and have a look at the fixture ticket on the right-hand side of the homepage. And you can do all sorts, right? You can filter it by overall difficulty.
You can.
You can filter it by attack, you know, how attack and defence. So if you think, right, okay, well, I don't want to sort it by overall. I'm going to sort it by which fixtures I think for those teams are best from an attacking perspective, because I'm looking at forward transfers. Similarly with defence and defenders. You can stretch it out loads of game weeks. You can have just one game week.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at so many ways to slice and dice the data. It's really, really good.
The fixture ticket is my favourite FPL
tool. I use it All the time.
Me too.
All the time. And I know, you know, I know we're associated with FS Scout this year and everyone's like, oh, God, stop advertising Scout. You know, I use it all the time. Even before FPL Family, I was using this like every single day.
And well before we were associated with Scout, I was on the
team. Oh, yeah, all the time. All the time. And one of the great things about it that Scout have just introduced is that if you disagree with the difficulty, so you could say, okay, well, you know, Liverpool going you know, home to Arsenal might be a red fixture or like more towards red. If you say, no, no, actually, home to Arsenal, I think that's more in the middle stroke blue. You can change the difficulties yourself.
And actually, sometimes that's the case, isn't it? If a club's having a particularly good run of fixtures and you think, well, you know, they're about to come up against Arsenal, who have been really poor defensively. Sorry, Arsenal fans, it just came to mind. And actually, this other team have been really good, then I might change the difficulty and that might affect my chances.
Yes. So if you do go to Fantasy Football Scout as a member and you go and look at the fixture ticket and then you sort by overall difficulty, this is the image you're going to see, game weeks 1-5. And lo and behold, Sam, talk of the town, talk of Twitter over the last week or so, or since the fixtures have been released, is should we now suddenly be considering Spurs? So resident Spurs expert, we have to discuss Spurs, and I think we should start there, right? Because a lot of people are thinking...
Hold the phone.
No, we have to.
You want to start a live stream talking about Spurs?
I think we have to, because if you look at it, if you go back to this time last week, I don't really think we were looking at many Spurs assets. Kane is the most expensive striker in the game, joint most with Aguero. Mm-hmm. Son's at 9 million. Is there some defenders I kind of like from a value perspective? Maybe Dyer, I don't know. Maybe Lloris, but outside of that, I don't fancy it too much. And then you're kind of in that other sort of 7/8 bracket of, you know, I'm taking a bit of a gamble maybe with Dele Alli. I'm taking a bit of a gamble with Bergwijn or Lo Celso, and I don't know enough really and see enough of Moura to suggest he's going to get one of those really fabled, because the midfield slots are crucial, aren't they, this season? There's so many options. So to fill it with one of those kind of Spurs risks doesn't feel quite such a good thing to do this season. However, the fixtures come out on Thursday and everyone's like, boom, Spurs, 3 home games, Everton, Newcastle and West Ham in the first 5. Southampton and Manchester United away look a bit more difficult. But even if, and we'll talk about this a bit later on, I've got another graphic, you spread the fixtures out and go past game week 5, it still looks good for Spurs. And actually, if you were to categorise the season, the opening fixtures for Spurs look amazing. It gets very bloody difficult around Christmas, by the way.
When doesn't it?
Very difficult. Your late November to early January for Spurs looks very difficult indeed. But also the running looks quite good.
Hmm.
So we should no longer be overlooking Spurs assets. So, God, I'd like your biased or unbiased opinion if you want. But Spurs, we should be looking at them now. Top of the fixture ticker.
It's nice, isn't it?
Well, it's nice to talk about them. Yeah, who are you looking at in particular?
Kane. I think you've kind of nailed it in what you just said there. I think for me, removing rose-tinted Spurs goggles and talking purely from a what is the best thing to do with Spurs point of view, the midfield is a minefield, is my honest view. And we'll talk a bit later about fixtures and stuff in terms of Spurs and the congestion. However, there is a real risk this season of rotation throughout the middle. With Spurs, with Bergwijn, with Fernandes, who played in the pre-season friendly against Ipswich.
Looked all right, didn't he? Get some Fernandes.
Really. Was the best game. Just the best game he's had since he arrived. Yeah. Really seemed to have settled.
To be fair, I could probably look all right against Ipswich, but give him a chance.
I mean, it is Ipswich, and it's, you know, it's not Man United, it's not Liverpool, but he had a really good game.
You're right.
There's Moura, there's Bergwijn, there's Dele Alli, there's Son. There's so many options. We shouldn't forget Lo Celso. There's so many options in that midfield.
But do you think they're risky, though, those midfield options?
I think they are hugely risky.
I don't think you can go there, personally.
Nor do I, because I think what we're going to see is that those players will rotate regularly in order to cover the Europa League, the League Cup, the League, everything else that's going to be taking part. And then, of course, the FA Cup when we get to that eventually later on in the season. So there's going to be huge potential for those players to miss out. Now, I don't think they will miss out altogether, but they'll miss starts. And what we know about Mourinho is that he will close up the shop. If we're winning, it'll be, right, let's try and defend till the end of the game. And then the last thing you want is Bergwijn off the bench or Moura off the bench, because they're not coming on to score goals. They're coming on to just
chase the ball down.
Hold the ball.
Yeah.
I think for me, that leaves you with 3 options. Maybe 4, depending upon what happens with Aurier. But it leaves you with Kane. It leaves you with Son. And it leaves you with Eric Dier. What has my life become?
I don't think Eric Dyer is too bad a shout.
No. And it leaves you with Aurier. Now, Aurier may or not be a member of the team by the time September the 12th rolls around. So let's watch that space. But if he does stay, then potentially he's an asset. But I always worry about the attitude with him. Eric Dyer, there was a lovely quote I wrote down. Hang on. There was a lovely quote from Mourinho about Eric Dyer.
Just while you're finding that, one of the standout players against Ipswich was clearly Heung-min Son. Played very, very well.
Yeah.
9 million in FPL.
Yeah.
You've got to assume when Harry Kane comes back in, he goes touchline hugging again out to the left, and therefore not an option? Mm. Or do you think with the schedule, if Harry Kane... I don't know, maybe it depends what Mourinho is prioritising. If he's prioritising getting through the Europa League, could Harry Kane maybe get rested in some of those Premier League games and Son come in through the middle? Or no. How do you see it?
I don't see that at all.
No.
I think Harry Kane is...
He doesn't rest Harry Kane, does he?
No. Harry Kane is the talisman. He isn't the captain, but...
So the other scenario is Mourinho flogs Kane to death and he does his ankle again. That's my concern with spending 10.5 on Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Is your schedule. He's either going to rotate him if he's sensible, Mourinho, or he's not, and he's going to kill him.
He's not going to rotate him. But the thing is with Harry Kane is it's always the same with him, isn't it? He always plays every single minute of every single game until injury hits. And it will at some stage, but it's normally more like February-ish time that we see a problem. So I don't think rotation is a risk with Kane. And that's why I pick out him and Son, because I think the two of them are pretty much nailed on to start. Because what I think is that, you know, Mourinho, for all of the things that we say about Mourinho... One thing he is not is a fool when it comes to knowing what he needs to do. And the Spurs fixtures, as we've and you've already said, are beautiful for about 8 weeks. Then they get difficult. And then come the end of the season, they get easier again. But that means that we have to start well. Because if we're going to go into that difficult patch around Christmas and still be doing okay... We need to have had a really nice, productive start to the season. And
if you're mid-table going into that difficult fixture, that is a big problem.
Yeah. And so Mourinho can't afford to lose these early Premier League games. Equally, the thing that he has to do this season is win something. He cannot not win a trophy this season, in my view, if he's going to last more than this season.
Give us your Dele Alli quote, and while you're doing that, I'm going to find...
No, it's not Dele Alli, it's Eric Dyer.
Your Eric Dyer quote. Give us your Eric Dyer quote, and when you're doing that, I'm going to find this graphic that you sent me about Spurs' schedule. So find your Dyer quote.
So Mourinho said about him, he's doing very, very well. We look forward to next season when we have no doubts that he is our centre-back. He's going to be an important player for us. So there you are.
Mic drop. 5 million FPL.
If you want worth to
burn, a look, isn't it?
Look, I think my view is that Eric Dyer is never gonna be fireworks in terms of points scored, but what he will do is give you consistent picks because Mourinho loves him. He had 14 starts in the Premier League last season, 12 of them come under Mourinho. He would have had more had he not had a four-match ban.
What's the pecking order? Dyer?
Alderweireld and Sanchez. But it depends on how he positions whether
Foyth?
I don't think even knows he exists at the moment.
No? Okay.
He's made that move with Dyer from the middle into the back, and I think that's really important. And just finalising on Kane for just one second before we look at that graphic, I think the key thing for me that makes Kane a really nice pick this year is Højbjerg's arrival at the club, because suddenly we have a proper leader in the middle who's going to be doing all that dog's body work that Kane was dropping back to do last season and we all didn't like. We won't see Kane doing that this year, is my view.
Okay, very good. All right, well, here's the graphic that I found, courtesy of... Well, you found it, but did you find it on The Athletic or was it on a Spurs
Facebook? No, it was on a Spurs... It was on a Spurs fan page. But, yeah, I think it came from Coy's News, but it wasn't... They shared it.
Okay, but so we can't take any credit for doing this. This has come from a Spurs fanzine. And by the way, guys, it's a bit difficult to read, but I don't necessarily even think you need to read each individual line. You just need to understand the amount of games that Spurs have got to churn through, particularly in September and October. And the reason this graphic has got the England games in it was because it was specifically talking about Kane. So, for example, before we've even kicked a ball in the Premier League, England have got these two games. Now, I don't know whether Heung-min Son's got any international games either. I actually don't know. You can tell me in the live chat, any Spurs fans that are in. But listen, two England games there. Nations League games as well, so they mean something.
Yeah,
so you're pretty sure that Kane's going to get
he's the captain.
He's going to play those games. Then it's Everton. And then after the Everton game on the opening day, you've got the Europa League second qualifying round. So you have this additional qualifying round that I don't think Leicester have to go through. This additional game, okay. Which we actually don't know where that is yet, do we?
No.
That's not decided. Then you've got to come home and travel to Southampton.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's the third round of the Carabao Cup, so you might be resting there, I don't know. Then it's Europa League third quarter. Listen, I'm not going to go through line by line, but that's a lot of bloody games for Harry Kane to play with his dodgy injury record.
24 days. That's not even a full month. So in 24 days, he's got to play, is it 8 or 9 games in 24 days, which is massive.
9 if he plays both England games and the Carabao Cup.
Now, he's going
to
play.
You've got to think he's not going to play the Carabao Cup.
He's going to play both England games without a doubt. He's the captain, I cannot see. And they're qualifiers, they're not friendlies. So unless for some reason Spurs pull the, well, he's had to be in quarantine and he's missed pre-season and blah, blah, blah. But I can't see it. I think he's going to go.
No.
It is a problem. And it's the one thing that whenever anyone talks to me about Spurs and what do I do about Spurs, because it is difficult. And with Spurs, obviously, you've got Kane and you've got Son. And they are the obvious choices. They're the best choices. If you want a Spurs asset. But they're so expensive that means compromising on the other players that you can have. But for me, the other players, the cheaper ones, they're just not worth the risk because with that many fixtures, rotation galore.
Okay. All right, listen, I got the live chat saying we missed a couple of super chats. So let's go have a look at super chats. One from Matt. Thank you, Matt, for the super chat. Early wildcard equals price rises. Too risky to hold the wildcard. So I think what he's saying is you've got to play that wildcard early so that you can get the price rises. I'm not... I must admit, Matt, I do understand your strategy, but I do believe we're going to have a season full of uncertainty, and having that wildcard there as backup... I think you're either going to use it early or late, aren't you? You're either going to use it game week 2 or 3, or you're going to wait and just leave it until you really need it.
The thing that really sticks out to me is last season was the only time I've ever left my wild card late.
Yeah.
And it was by far and away the best thing I did last season.
Yeah.
It was what made me finish the way that I did last year. So
yeah.
I'm going to be holding mine as long as possible.
My
team value was still at 1.8 by the time the season finished,
yeah.
So I didn't need it.
Yeah, it's not a bad strategy to use it early at all. I'm not going to put anybody off that, but... For me, I'm gonna be holding mine, I think, unless I really desperately think I've got to use it.
Unless there's something major that changes and I'm on all the wrong players, or players get injured, then it might come earlier, but my plan is to hold as long.
Okay. Another super chat from Clark. He just says Clarky complains. Clark, I don't know if that is your new YouTube handle or whether that is your team name. I don't know, mate. Get in the live chat, let us know. Either way.
Or he's just complaining.
Thank you for the he's just like, get off air.
Why are you
bloody
on?
Champions League is on. Cheers, Clarky, appreciate it. That's it, I think that's the super chats, guys. Thank you for letting us know about those. So listen, Spurs, great fixtures, hectic schedule to say the least. Let's go back to these first five. So target Spurs, yes, but tentatively, in my opinion, tentatively, at your own risk.
It's all or nothing
for me.
I think is the thing with Spurs. Go all
in. I know you're done there. Documentary coming soon. Yeah.
31st.
Spoiler, it's nothing.
By the way, can you sign up for Prime later? Because I need to watch it on the 31st. it's all or nothing. You go heavy on the big hitters, Kane or Ali, or Son, or don't go at all.
Right, okay. Let's move on from Spurs. We've talked about Spurs bloody enough.
Oh, that wasn't really long enough.
That was far too long, Sam, which I knew was going to happen as soon as I mentioned it. let's talk about the other teams that I think we should be targeting. So having a look, obviously, down the ticker, Leicester come in there in third, West Brom away, Burnley, then a trip to the Etihad, which no one likes, then home to West Ham and Aston Villa. So three reasonable-looking home games and then away game at West Brom. Leicester look all right. So are we overlooking Vardy? Should we be looking at their defensive assets? Given that Ben Chilwell looks as if he's on the verge of a move to Chelsea. Johnny Evans, as we know, suspended for at least, I think it's a couple of games at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
A lot of people lumping onto James Justin at 4.5, but I would be a bit cautious of that, even with the fixtures.
I'm really wary of Leicester. I've got to be honest.
Because the form was bloody awful, wasn't it, since the restart?
So the form was appalling in Project Restart. The injuries were... And in part, that was caused because of the injuries, particularly and then the suspensions at defence. So it wasn't all Leicester's fault, but they had injury problems. They're now about to lose Ben Chilwell, who I think that's huge for them defensively to lose him.
Yeah.
And I think they've also got a hectic schedule because they've also got Europa League coming in All right, they come in a bit later than we do.
Just as a tangent, you think they're getting good money for Chilwell?
Not enough, I don't think.
Not enough?
No.
I think they're getting good money for Chilwell.
Do you?
I do, yeah. I think Chelsea are getting a good player, don't get me wrong.
Well, I think it's exactly what Chelsea need.
It is 100% what Chelsea need. But listen, I think that's a lot of money.
Well, I think that Leicester...
Because he's English, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why we signed Joe Hart, really isn't
it? Oh, Spurs signing Joe Hart is my favourite Mourinho thing ever. He is never going to see a pitch. He's just there to bring up your English quota, isn't he, basically? You just need more homegrown players, so let's go and get a third-choice keeper. Joe Hart's like, right, so you're actually going to pay me some money to just be around the club? Yeah, okay, yeah, good.
Joe Hart's loving his life.
Of course he is.
He came out and said it was a brilliant opportunity.
Brilliant opportunity for his bank balance.
Words were something like, it doesn't matter if you're on the pitch, but I've won the league, so I know how to be in a league-winning dressing room.
It's a great opportunity. Doesn't matter if you're on the pitch.
For him to be... So he's basically saying, I can't contribute anything on the pitch, but what I will bring is, I've won a league.
One thing I will say about him, we're going off at a tangent, we'll get back on it in a minute, and the bloody Spurs... We talk so much about Spurs. He's a big voice in the changing room, a big voice. Sometimes too big.
That's all right. Luis is there. Just
I'm going to put that out there. Do what you want with that, Spurs fans. I think he might be disruptive in the changing room.
Have you seen our changing room? It can't get any more disruptive.
Not that harmonious right now.
He might come in and sing a song and it all might be better.
Jesus. Super chat from Clarky complains. Thank you, Clarky, for the second super chat of the night. Sam, how do you get Kane in with Salah, Aubameyang, Manu and Trent? How do you do it?
With a lot of other compromises, which we'll come to later.
A lot of compromises, Clarkie, and a lot of 5.0 Suchecks, and a lot of 4.5 Keenan Davises, mate, and a lot of 4.0s. You've got to go and find
the cheapies.
And do you know what? In the game week one that was full of all the fixtures, you might be able to do that. But game week one with the blanks, with potentially a couple of 4.0s, which I know people are looking at, with a maybe... Will he start? Will he not? 4.5 midfielder with a Keenan Davis who isn't playing anyway. With a Charlie Taylor. Very, very difficult now.
It's really
very difficult.
But I have managed it, sort of.
Sort of. Well, we'll come to your draft a bit later on. So Leicester City then, I think we're very tentative on those guys. Chelsea, despite being, let's see, they are fourth here on the ticker. Brighton then, of course, the Liverpool game. We don't necessarily think that. I mean, that anything could happen in that Liverpool game, to be fair. It'd be very interesting to see how Werner performs at home to the club that he was looking to move to against Liverpool. Then West Brom, Palace, Southampton. So Chelsea, looking worthy of investment. I think a lot of us were thinking of investing there in Ziyech or Werner, or if you want a bit cheaper, maybe a Mason Mount, something like that. How are you feeling about Chelsea? Got anybody in your draft? Not right yet.
What's the real problem? This is my problem. Is that I know I have to have a Chelsea player. I want a Chelsea player. I can't decide how to do it. Because I'd like Werner. I think he looks... from what I've seen of him, he looks brilliant. My preference is Pulisic. But obviously, I've got to wait for him.
Potentially. Got to see how he recovers, yeah.
See how the recovery goes.
Sorry to cut across you, but are Chelsea not the perfect... Not perfect, but for me, they are. I've got to have a look at them before I pick my FPL asset. And I'm not going to put anybody off lumping on Werner or Ziyech. Or if you want to go the new boys, if you want to go even Ben Chilwell if he signs there, do it. Like the run is good. Not going to put you off getting Werner at all. But for me, I just want to see them. Want to see them against Brighton away, Liverpool, and then probably game week three is the week to act.
I feel
at speed.
Very at speed.
If you don't, and you say, I'll look at them again against West Brom, ready for Palace at home.
No.
Well, I think you want them against West Brom, don't you, I think?
Yeah, so I mean, in my mind, Chelsea are the team I'm not yet invested in that I feel like I really, really need to be invested in.
Yeah.
But I can't decide which one. It's really difficult to pick the right one. It's also really difficult when you get Premier League new boys... who are exactly that. So they're not just new to their club, but they're new to the league.
Mm.
Because you just don't know whether it's going to be a Bruno affair and he's going to hit the ground like an absolute train and you're just going to be loving life. Or whether he's going to be a who took long time to settle, like one of the players that comes and just takes them a while to bed into
like
the game.
Like Pulisic, right?
Like Pulisic, yeah. And what? Yeah, perfect example. And it just takes them a little bit longer. And so for me, Chelsea is a real minefield because I could play it safe and I could go with Mount. Tried and tested in the Premier League. Frank loves him. I could wait a couple of games.
I haven't seen Mount in many drafts.
No.
I'm kind of surprised about that. 7 million, he's Frank's boy. You sort of know what you're getting for your 7 million because you've seen him already.
Yeah.
But I think probably going to play.
It's the appeal of the sexy new boys, isn't it? Like, yeah. They come in with their skilled football and you kind of go, oh, I really fancy just a... Oh.
But these are very good players.
I know they are. But sometimes, like, you've got... They've arrived... Not so much Werner, because he arrived before the end of Project Restart, but they're arriving in a very short window of pre-season, which isn't a proper pre-season. They're not going to have a lot of time to get to know their teammates before the game starts in September. So there is an element of they won't have played that much football altogether yet, as they would have done if it was any other normal season. So there is a big part of me that thinks game week 2, you watch them in 1, you watch them in 2, and you know that there is a chance... that they massively affect you, but you then know which one it is you want and you go for them for 3 and have them in that nice run that they have coming onwards. And I think that's where I am with Chelsea.
What I like about Werner as the pick is that if you look at Liverpool, you're going to have a midfielder, right? Probably not Bobby. If you want to go to Man United, you're probably going to have a midfielder. You might want to go Martial as well, but you're probably going to have a midfielder. City, you probably decided between De Bruyne and Sterling initially, and because Aguero and Jesus is still a little bit difficult for me. So you look around a lot of the top clubs, even at Arsenal, you're probably going to go Aubameyang, if anybody.
Yeah.
But with Chelsea, you haven't got to take up one of those midfield slots. You can use one of your forward slots on Werner and not worry about the Chelsea midfield, which is, could potentially be a bit of a minefield.
Yeah.
For me, I just want to see him, and I think those 2 game weeks. All right, well, Werner might, I don't know, you know, he might bag a brace against Brighton, but then he's coming. You know, we're going into the Liverpool game, so do you want him for that game? You might do, but for me, I think game week 3 is going to be. I'm not like I'm planning a transfer because I want to stay fluid, but Chelsea for me are a real watch to wait to see what Frank does. So Chelsea are in there, Leicester are in there, Arsenal, despite being quite far down the ticker, I've put as target. For Arsenal, simply because that opening 2 games is... when I saw the fixtures, here was my first thought when I saw Arsenal's fixtures. Fulham and West Ham, and then Liverpool, Sheffield United, Man City. That is perfect, is it not, for Aubameyang? Those first 2. And then, once Man City have done their blank and Wolves, they then go into Leicester at home and then Leeds away. You just switch it, don't you? You just switch it. But how are you going to feel? So assume you're going to take that tactic. Having already said that I'm planning a Chelsea transfer in game week 3, I might be doing a Man City transfer as well. Say Aubameyang goes off against Fulham and goes off in game week 2 against West Ham. Do you still then transfer him out ahead of that trip to Anfield and the difficult fixtures? Or do you sort of stick with him because he's bagging all the points for you?
No.
I think he is sellable because come game week 3... he's not captainable, is he? Liverpool, Sheffield United, Man City. Sheffield United made, but Liverpool, Man City's not captainable in those games.
No. So I said Spurs were all or nothing. This Arsenal team, in my view, apart from maybe a defender, which we can come to, this really is all or nothing. If you go in with Arsenal, you go in Aubameyang, because you're not getting Pepe, I doubt.
Probably not, no.
You could go in Nketiah up top. You could.
Could you?
You could.
Not with a lot of certainty, I don't know.
No, I don't know if you'd want to, but you could. It's Aubameyang, if you're going Arsenal. I wasn't going there. I was like, no, he's...
Willian?
He's... Yes, but he's not on penalties at...
It's Alba. Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, I'm not. All the fixtures are nice for the first
Fulham,
2.
Fulham, West Ham, first 2 is crazy good.
KDB's blanking. Oh, well...
and then at Molyneux.
Well, okay, it's a bad thing. But I'm not comfortable about it. I've got to be honest. And I'll tell you why. I don't...
Are you comfortable about anything in your first draft right now?
Yeah.
You are comfortable about some things.
There's some red people in there that I'm comfortable with.
Okay, good. Yeah. Trent, I'm comfortable with, yes.
But with Aubameyang, I feel like I just don't know how... Like, if he signs a new contract tomorrow, I'll feel more comfortable. I don't know where his head is.
Mm.
And that's where my problem is.
What about the defenders then? So I'd love to hear from you guys. If you're watching the replay, get in the comments below. If you're in the live chat, Arsenal fans, what is your back four going to be going into the new season? Including the goalkeeper, by the way.
Yeah.
Is it Martinez because he played so well since the restart and Leno's still coming back? Or does Leno come straight back in if he's fit? Is it Maitland-Niles on that side? I think it's Tierney on the other side. I think Tierney's pretty locked. But then in centre-half, suddenly got quite a few options, haven't they? Not just Holding and David Luiz from last season, but Saliba's come back from St Etienne, I think, which is where he was playing in the French league. Did all right out there, by all accounts.
New boy. It's about to sign.
I think Gabriel is about to sign as well.
Yeah.
So suddenly they've got quite a lot of options there, Arsenal. And Saliba, if that's how you say his name, because I don't know a lot about this guy. Again, get in the comments, guys. Tell me what you think about, is it Saliba, Saliba? I don't know how you say his name. What do we think about him in FPL? 4.5. I have to say, with those two fixtures, if in the pre-season he's starting at centre-half for Arsenal, I think he's in, isn't he?
I think the only thing that we have going for us in pre-season at the moment, because obviously we're not getting a lot of it, is the Community Shield.
True.
The
Community
Shield is, for me, a bit of a gift when it comes to Arsenal, because we will get an indication of which of these 4.5 million Arsenal defenders are actually going to play, if any. And which of them, which are the defensive unit that we want to be looking at? Now, okay, we can't really judge it against your attack.
Oh, maybe you can.
You can't judge it against Salah and Mane and those guys in terms of, are they going to be the Arsenal defence that we are, you know, are they the David Luiz defence or are they better?
Yeah.
For me, I really struggle to pick an Arsenal defender, even at 4.5, simply because my head goes, but they're just going to make a mistake. But I don't know if they are. And
I'm not sure I'm with you on that. But certainly since...
It's a historical thing though, isn't it?
Yeah.
With Arsenal is you believe that they're defensively poor.
Well, David Luiz does make mistakes, but equally he can have a world-class game. Leno, I think I've seen some stats that suggest he can make mistakes, but is also a good goalkeeper.
Absolutely.
Martinez came in, didn't make any mistakes, and was a good goalkeeper, so he's a good option.
And from Project Restart, they were a lot better defensively.
There's something
in my head that goes, don't pick an Arsenal defender. Because
I think that's a historic thing.
I think it is too, but it's getting over it. And I think the only way to kind of... It's getting over it with the right player. Because I know my luck with it when it comes to Arsenal players. I'll end up with the one that's not playing.
Let's see what you guys are saying in the live chat. Another super chat from Clarky. Thank you. Loving the super chats tonight. Thanks, Clarky. He reckons they'll play three centre-halves. So despite the fact that Gabriel might sign and you've got Saliba at 4-4, he is actually saying that Tierney is now the best asset. Tierney's the one to go for because of that attacking threat down that left-hand side. Azzy is also saying Tierney at times will play centre-back in a three, which might put me off him a little bit. Let's see.
So difficult. This is the problem. Without a proper pre-season, it's so hard.
Okay, I would want Tierney, Sean Thorpe is saying, but 5.5 is too much. Gaz Temple saying, yes, I would go Arsenal defence if Martinez keeps his place, pretty crucially. Gareth Robinson, Tierney is the best pick. He's a beast. A lot of love for Tierney in the live chat. Kenz is in, Stealth Panda. How are we doing, Kenz? He's saying, Albert is an absolute must. He's yes for the first two, in my opinion. With the defence, it's tricky because the first two, very good. Clean sheet potential, but you never know, can concede silly goals. So he's sort of backing up what you're saying there, Sam. And Ashley Longthorne is saying, well, Arsenal defence is just a no go, maybe for the same reasons. I don't know. I'm really intrigued to see. I think at 4.5, Arsenal defence is a go.
Do you? See, I think they will...
5.5 for Tierney feels a bit much for me.
I feel will annoy me as much as owning Lascelles did during the during the restart.
Lascelles a nice pick as well, by the way.
But you know what I mean? Like Newcastle, they'd hold those clean sheets till the 94th minute and then concede. And in my head, Arsenal will do that to me.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, I've put some avoid teams in there as well. I've got West Ham and Leeds and Crystal Palace. I don't want to talk too much about Palace. I don't think even with the price points, without fixtures this time last week, we touched on Palace too much. We did talk about Leeds for a bit, though. We did talk about Leeds. We talked about Ayling and Dallas. Are they going to be good if Ben White stays and if Potter wants Ben White back at Brighton? Look out for that, by the way.
He's listed as a Brighton player in the game, isn't he?
He is, because he is a Brighton player. Yeah. I think Leeds want him back, clearly. I don't think they're going to get him. I think Potter wants him there. And if he's as good as people and Leeds fans say he is, Brighton could be a lot better defensively this season, by the way.
Brighton
aren't bad defensively anyway. And there's a team that we're expecting to, I think, I'm expecting them to improve generally this season, Brighton under Potter.
And Jules are like you.
I do, genuinely. and with Ben White there, they could be defensively very solid. I still think they miss a bit going forward. They need a good season from Morpie, but defensively they could be very good. That's why I think Ryan is an absolute lock in goal, by the way. But Palace, let's avoid. Leeds, for me, they are now a watch and wait. I know it's Liverpool first, so you haven't got to rush into them. Fulham at home does look, you know, nice, but you've got the Mitrovic factor. They know each other. Sheffield United away, Man City, Wolves. Even at 4.5, I can't bring myself to go Ailing or Dallas. And in actual fact, given that I don't know that much about Leeds, I'm going to use that first five fixtures to just look at them. And if I do fancy them after that, then maybe I do. But they're a watch now, aren't they?
Yeah, and I said on Rambo's Twitch the other day when we were talking about things like this, that actually I think the risk you have with the Leeds defenders is they will be quite highly owned at the start of the game. And then they've got this nasty period of fixtures at the beginning, which probably means people will just start getting off of them.
Yeah.
And therefore their price will drop. So if you're thinking, oh, well, I'll get them and have them from game week six onwards, it's probably advisable not to, simply because you might lose some value in them, and that would not be ideal.
Very good. All right. And from the other avoids, I've gone West Ham. Now, I do actually have a West Ham asset in my team in Suchet. I know a lot of people were thinking about Antonio as well at 6.5. Doesn't make him a bad pick, the fixtures. We know that he can turn it on against the bigger clubs. But I just don't feel like I can invest in West Ham with those fixtures. Let's read them out. West Ham's fixtures. Newcastle at home, which does look nice. But then Arsenal, Wolves, Leicester, Spurs. I've got a graphic in a minute that extends the fixtures out to 8 game weeks. And it doesn't get any better for West Ham. They are the opposite to you guys, actually. Terrible, and then nice Christmas. And then it goes bad again for them. So
I feel like with Antonio, he won't be an asset this year because he's a striker. Ooh,
that's a big shout.
I don't feel like he offers anywhere near what he
6.5?
Because he's a striker, so we've lost the point for goals scored. We've lost the clean sheet potential. I feel, for me, that if I'm going to pick a West Ham midfielder, if I was going to pick a West Ham attacking option, I'd go Suchek all day long over Antonio.
Would you?
Yeah, all day long.
I think that's a big shout, because if you look at some of his XGI, his expected goal involvements, he's right up there, Antonio, per 90 minutes. All right, okay. Well, big shout there, big shout. I still think he's a good asset. Goal for Bayern, by the way.
Ooh,
goal for Bayern Munich.
Told you, nice. Paris had missed looks far too many opportunities.
Looks like it's Kingsley Coman, who I think he's a really, really nice player. Really nice player. Bayern 1-0 up. So thank you guys in the live chat for keeping
how
us up to date.
How many minutes has that gone?
With the game. It can't have come too long out of second half. Probably about 20 minutes into the second half.
Yeah.
So there we go, guys. That's how the fixtures look for the first 5 game weeks. And if you extend it out to the first 8 game weeks, listen, that's very, very small. Even if you've got 20-20 vision, that's hard to look at, but just know that Spurs still, even when you go out to 8 game weeks, still looking good. Fulham then come into our thinking as well after that tricky looking first game. The medium term, the first 8 game weeks looks good for Fulham. So if you were on Antonio before the fixtures came out, I would strongly suggest having a look at Mitrovic now for 0.5 cheaper.
It's just reverse back in time.
Mitro looks great, I think, with these fixtures. Yeah. Mitro looks absolutely great. And if you want to dabble elsewhere in Fulham, I would maybe think twice about that. I don't like Fulham defensively, and I don't think any of us are going to fall for Tom Kearney again, are we, in midfield? But if you want to look somewhere, I think it's Mitrovic. Southampton go up to third then if you extend it out to 8 game weeks. So if you want your McCarthys, if you want your Kyle Walker-Peters in defence, definitely. If you want to spend some money up top with Ings, then have a look at him as well, of course. And Che Adams, if you want to rein it in a little bit in terms of the cash you're spending in the Saints forwards. And then Wolves as well right up there. So Wolves have got a tricky couple of first fixtures, but in the medium term, look very, very good. So again, don't be afraid to invest in Wolves. No Europe for Wolves this season, which really hampered them at the beginning of last season. I think Nuno Espirito Santo's got a job to do to really G his players up after the way they finished last season. But he's the sort of manager who can do that. If you go and listen to Raptor and I in the video last week, you'll know why Nuno Espirito Santo, his leadership style is such that he will get that out of his players. So don't be afraid to go into game week one with Wolves, knowing that in the medium term, they will come to fruition. I don't think you want to be benching them game week one because there'll be plenty of other gaps in your team. Game week two looks pretty tough for them, but they look pretty good after that. And then the avoids, it continues. I'm afraid, Hammers fans, it continues to be difficult for David Moyes' boys. West Ham, very difficult start to the season. Sheffield United then moved down a little bit to sort of fourth or fifth from bottom. A few red fixtures toward the right-hand side there. And Aston Villa, not just a blank, but a couple of blues in there, but mostly looking pretty red for Aston Villa. So I think the Clarets teams, the West Hams and the Villas, alongside Sheffield United, Dean Henderson, less Sheffield United, even with Ramsdale in there, starting to look like slight avoids for me now. Slight avoids. Any thoughts on any of that stuff?
I just agree. I think Sheffield United, I look long and hard at Sheffield United, and there's a lot of love for Egan in terms of percentage chosen by at the moment, percentage selected by, sorry. I don't see it without Hendo. You look at the two games last season against Manchester United where Hendo couldn't play because he was against his parent club. They were a shadow of themselves
tough,
defensively.
Yeah,
and I think that that will move...
Ramsdale's a decent keeper, though.
I'm not saying that Ramsdale's a bad pick, but I think that Henderson was the heartbeat of not just being a fantastic keeper, but controlling the defence and making the people be in the right places. And I'm not sure that Ramsdale is that. He's a good keeper, but I'm not sure he's the leader that they'll really miss in Sheffield when Henderson goes.
Okay, all right. Let's see what you guys are saying in the Super Chat. I think I missed another one, actually. Lots of Super Chats tonight. Thank you guys for the Super Chats. John Tyner is in. He's saying, Arsenal assets, he's got Tierney, Alba and Saka. We didn't even mention Saka. He's gone three Arsenal. But with those two first fixtures, Sam, might not be a bad tactic, John. Might not be a bad tactic. We didn't talk much about Saka. Any thoughts? I think if you're going Alba, you don't want Saka as well, do you, to take up two Arsenal midfields?
I don't want two Arsenal, no. I don't, anyway.
But listen, nice fixtures to start with. So if Absolutely. You want to go with it, you're going to go Tierney, you want to go Aubameyang, spend a lot of money on those Gunners assets. Not going to turn you off that, John. Not going to turn you off. Before we move on to our drafts, as they are, the draft that you've put together and my tinkering over the last week or so, we've got to give a massive shout out to, we've had loads of interest in our Patreon site. Links are in the description below, guys. Go check out patreon.com/FPL family. Loads of new patrons joining us in that fantastic community that we're building up over on Slack and in Patreon. Something like 20 new signups. I'm going to give you all a shout out in a second. Loads of people coming in for the Zoom tier as well. Thank you guys for embracing our idea around Zoom. It was kind of a bit of a quirky idea. I wasn't sure, you know, do people really want to talk to us one-to-one? Probably not. I don't know. I just put it out there and see what people think. But a lot of you guys that were existing patrons have upgraded, but a lot of net new patrons coming in Zoom. So you, Sam, from FPL Family, are going to be spending a lot of time on Zoom because none of these guys want to talk to me, I can tell you. They want to talk to you.
They don't want to talk to me.
So we've got a lot of Zooms lined up. So guys, if you want to go check us out...
I'll just be there all the time, will I?
Yeah, absolutely. This is going to be your chair from now on. So, guys, if you want
to
join us,
lose a lot of weight
over on Patreon, then we'd love you to go and check us out over there at either the Ohana, the Manager of the Month, or the Zoom tier. Really crucial, guys, if you join us at the Manager of the Month tier or above, we need your FPL team IDs, please. I've put a post in the Slack under there's a specific channel for 2021 team IDs, and also in our Patreon, there's a post where you can put your team IDs. I think we might need to manage the Manager of the Month competition a bit differently because of some of the rule changes in FPL this year, and that might include a bit of manual tracking. So what we didn't want to do is just not do the Manager of the Month. We definitely want to do it. We absolutely love doing it, and we want to be faithful to everybody that's joined up to the Manager of the Month or the Zoom tier. We just might have to manage it a bit differently, and that involves you guys giving us your team ID. So if you're in the Slack, head over to the Slack channel. Post your team ID in there. Send me a DM on Twitter if you want to. Put it in the Patreon. Wherever you want to send me your team ID, get it done. Get it done. So a shout out to all of these people, Sam, that have sent us or have joined us over on Patreon. This is just since last Sunday, by the way.
Yeah, and there's
just
still a couple
since
more.
Last Sunday. So I'm going to shout out. So we've got Rita, Ryan, Hannes, Jigs, Lavash, Atlet is in there, Robert, Lazar. Somebody called Goodnight Stories.
I quite like that.
Good night stories. Welcome to Patreon.
Makes me feel comfortable, that one.
We've got Ben in as well. We've got Serjan, Helen, Paul, Charlie, Dell, Hanno, who was in the live chat before. Hanno, thank you for joining us over on Patreon. Kim, we've got Karan, we've got Michael, Matt, Omar, Billy, and Liam Healy, who's a live chat regular. We know and love Liam over here. So
he went and came back, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. So
plus
thank
Gaz
you
and
to
James.
Everybody that joined us over on Patreon in the last week or so. And I put this graphic together a couple of hours ago, and we've had people join since then.
Yeah, Gaz and James.
So we've had Gaz and James join us, as well as everybody else over on Patreon, guys. So the community, just getting better and better. We absolutely love you guys. Thank you for all your support coming into the 2021 season. If you want to go check us out, if you're not a patron yet, FPL Family over on Patreon is patreon.com/FPL Family. Go have check it out over there. Have a look at all the tiers. If you want to come support us, we'd absolutely love you to do that. Absolutely love you to do that. Right, Sam, let's have a look at your team. So this is the draft.
Oh, that's why I've got
that
this
you
down.
Have hastily put together. And before you talk about it, Clarkie in with another super chat. Thank you, Clarkie. How do you say this guy's name? If Ease, I don't even know this guy. If he signs for Fulham, get him in. If 5.5, he's quality. So listen, there'll be plenty of signings between now and kickoff, no doubt about it. Eyes on Fulham. If they get him for 5.5, Clarkie reckons he's going to be a decent signing. So look out for him. But here, Sam, is your team. This is the draft that you put together.
Bunch
four
of
game week one so
it?
Far. A bunch of reprobates, according to your own definition. Talk us through it. A lot's going to change, I suspect, between now and game week one.
Oh, loads is going to change between now and game week one. I don't understand how you can do anything other than have Ryan and Button as the keepers for this season
at
the moment.
They look pretty locked, don't they? Even as vice captain, I notice you've got Ryan. So
I mean, I love him that much. I don't understand how you can make it work otherwise, because the budget is so tight that it's a struggle. So
Nathan Price, you're absolutely right. He's in the live chat. Not Nathan, it's Sarang. He's saying, what's the... Sam, you went off about Leeds defenders a second there. Got ailing. What's going on?
Yeah, because I did this on a so I'll talk you through it. So Trent Alexander-Arnold, Salah, Aubameyang, Fernandes, St. Maxey and Kane were my kind of like, there you are. That's who I want for game week one.
So the interesting name amongst all of those that were, you know, locks for you is St. Max. I know you like him, but listen, that Newcastle fixture, it's not that easy going into the season. What are we saying about St. Max? You seem very, very confident with him. Both last week and this.
I'm all about him.
You're all about St. Max. Okay, interesting.
I'm all about him. I feel like Newcastle, and I said this in Project Restart, and maybe I'm mad, but I wasn't during Project Restart. I got it right then. And I feel like Newcastle have got a bit of there's a bit of kind of negativity there with them. People don't really trust that they're going to come out and do anything.
Well, the failed takeover has got a lot to do with that, hasn't it?
Probably.
It's got to affect the club, right?
Probably. But I think that they are... I just see him, and I look at him, the way that he plays, the speed of him, the momentum, the way that he brings out the best in everyone else in that club, and I think that he is he's the only one I'd have. But he is, for me, he was one of the first people I put in my team.
All right, okay. Very good. All right, talk us through the rest of it.
In terms of that defence, I mean, let's be honest.
Talk us through Ayling and Diop, please. The guys in the live chat are saying, Ayling, Diop, Livermore. Okay. Sam want that trophy this season. What's going on?
So, Vinagre, I would really have liked to have been Doherty, but it's just not possible if I have all the others. So Vinagre is Vinagre, and that's the end of it.
Is there a case for both?
What?
Vinagre and Doherty? Because Doherty's a nice price at six.
Oh, there is, if you can afford it, but I can't
it's
find
just
a way
money,
to get Doherty in. Like,
you need a bit more Keenan Davis in your team, don't you?
Nobody needs that!
That is exactly why you've gone Brewster. You've only gone Brewster because you didn't want to come on here and say, I've got Keenan Davis.
We'll talk about Brewster.
You were just like, I really want to put Davis in, but I cannot go on the
Davis
live stream with him. So I'm going to use a really important Liverpool spot on Brewster.
Well, Brewster's only in... We'll talk about Brewster in a minute. We're talking about defence. So Vinagre and Peters were my kind of... They were the... Right, I will need a Wolves defender and I want a Burnley defender. I have a real faith in Peters after the season that we had together during Project Restart. So he's in.
Is it him or Charlie Taylor to play on that side, isn't it? I don't think they both play, do they? Or...
It better be Piers. I love him. Anyway, he's in for now. He could still not be there for game week one and come in a bit later because of obviously the blank and everything else. So that's something to be worked out. But the defence won't look like this. It will be Trent and A Wolves. I also will have Carl Walker Peters in there.
Okay.
He will definitely be in there
instead
of
A Wolves or Diop or somebody.
Yeah, probably. Right. Well, probably instead of Diop for
can't a have a West Ham defender with them fixtures, can you?
No, but
no way.
But it was one of those moments where I was just like, oh god, I need another 4.5, and Diop was like, oh yeah, all right, you'll do. But Carl Walker Peters. It'll be Carl Walker Peters. I really rate him.
Did you put this team together at like 8:28?
No,
as we're about to come on.
No,
there's some absolute rogues in here.
What else is rogue about it? So
Che Adams is pretty rogue. Go on.
Get to him in a minute. So the defence will change. There will be tweaks that come along the way. Arsenal maybe, but I can't see myself going there. But yeah, I think there are some other good, there's some other good, decent options in defence. But definitely Kyle Walker-Peters, I feel like he's a really, really good option. In the middle, so going back to what I said before about picking a player that's not going to lose team value.
Yeah.
Is part of the reason Livermore's there. Because I need I need a cheap fifth.
Ex-Spurs fifth midfielder.
I need it's not about being ex-Spurs. It's about I need a cheap fifth midfielder who is not going to drop in price because he's not highly owned and that has... He's always going to play. He's their captain. And so there will always be points off the bench if I need them.
Gabrielle Lampton is in the live chat saying, Sam, you bang on about Lamptey all bloody week. What's going on with Lamptey?
Because I've got Ryan and... I don't kind of have Ryan Button and Lamptey. Can I? I feel like I'm all lumping in on Brighton.
As he's like, Kyle Walker-Peters, yet another ex-Spurs, rolling eyes emoji. You've been well and truly rumbled, eh? I'm telling you.
Right, no, but Livermore's there for that particular reason. And he got three goals and two assists, or 3 goals and 5 assists last season. So there's a bit of attacking potential there. So that's why he's there. Now, Shay Adams,
I've seen a number of drafts with Shay Adams in this season. And okay, I do believe he and Ings will be the two up front for Saints this season, I would assume. Che Adams smells to me like, I wish I could have Ings, but I can't afford him, so I'm just going to have Che Adams. Adams is not a good pick. When did you last see Che Adams? Why is there so much talk about Che Adams? He's rubbish.
If you remember, I did this at the start of last season. I had Che Adams to start the season.
I think we all did, and we've not learnt our lesson. We're all going back there this season. I don't get it.
Well, I don't want him. I want Jimenez, but I can't afford Jimenez. So I'm in a boat of like, well, what do I do? And it's really, really difficult.
Gaz Temple saying, Sam, I love you, but this team.
This is what happens when Lee goes, you need a team for tonight. I've still got Ozil, by the way. And it's like, and by the way, we're going out in 20 minutes. So this
go
is what
then.
We
so
are.
So Kane is in. He's in your team and captain for game week one.
Yeah, of course.
Kane is in, despite what we were saying before about the fixture congestion.
Well, it's not congested by game week one.
Wow, okay. Interesting. And the way that you're getting around the Manchester City and Manchester doubles, in the blanks, I should say, in game week one,
is to bench
Fernandes. Man City then to come in game week two or maybe three. Or
yeah, goodbye Aubameyang. Hello, KDB.
Aubameyang to KDB in game week three feels like a very, very popular move, doesn't it, right now? And the way the fixtures have come out just makes that move even easier, doesn't it?
It does.
Fulham, West Ham for Aubameyang, then Liverpool.
Yeah.
Blank Wolves and then home Leicester, isn't it, for KDB?
Yeah.
So whether you want KDB or Sterling, not going to talk... I mean, we could do a whole video on them two, but one of those two coming in for Aubameyang in game week three, yeah, feels all right, doesn't it? Even if Aubameyang has banged in those first two.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, so listen, plenty to tinker with in that team.
Let's see if you can do better.
Although I don't think mine is any better, to be honest with you.
Well, there you are, then.
There are some similarities. There are some similarities. There's definitely no Che Adams in my team. Similar to you, I am going without Man City to start with.
Yeah.
But I do want some Manchester United in there. So I have gone for Rashford in midfield.
Who's that Chelsea player there?
That's Mason Mount. So we talked about Mason Mount before. He might change. And I said before how I would like to see how the new look Chelsea. And by the way, I think the vastly improved, supercharged Chelsea. I think Chelsea will be a very, very good side this season.
Yeah.
But I want to see what that supercharged looks like. I want to see whether Pulisic is going to hit the ground running again after his injury. I want to see how Werner adapts. I want to see how Ziyech, who I think is a very, very talented player, but he's coming into a very different league than he's used to.
Yeah.
Can he hit the ground running? I personally think he can, but is it a risk for game week one? Would I like to see him? Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Do I know that Mason Mount is a good pick at 7 million and can play in that Chelsea side? Yes, I do. So if I was going to go for a Chelsea player in game week one, I think I'd prefer the not very risky Mason Mount, actually, at 7 million. The challenge I've got is that if not Werner so much, because I would just bring him in up front, but if Ziyech or if Pulisic or if one of these guys starts coming to the fore, which is bound to happen, one of them will, I've got to go mount up, and that's difficult because then I've got to take away somewhere else. But listen, he may or may not be in there for my starting 11. Don't even talk about Trent. He's just in. Don't even talk about Vinagre. I mean, yes, yeah, same. I would like Doherty as well, but 4.5, unless they sign someone. If they sign a left back, it's different, right? It's different. And then there's some uncertainty there. But if they don't, Vinagre is going to be in everybody's team. There's Saliba. There he is. He's in there. He's in the team because I think Arsenal, I do like Kieran Tierney. I agree with everything you guys have said. I do think Arsenal are going to be better defensively this season. And Tierney absolutely has the potential and upside for assists. But at 5-5, just a little bit rich for me. It's just a little bit rich. So I'm going to go
nearly
Saliba.
Doherty, isn't it?
It is nearly Doherty. Tierney, I think, has the potential to be a big player in FPL this season. I
thought you were going to say to be Doherty.
I think the Arsenal fans that I speak to, they're very excited about these two new guys coming in.
They're always excited.
Gabriel. I know, but listen, Tierney...
You've seen them on Arsenal Fan TV. They're always excited.
Tierney has been very unlucky with injuries. I think he's got the potential to be the sort of player that might go into next season at 6.5 or something because he's had that good a season. Let's see. But for now, I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to be flexible. I'm going to have Saliba in there. If in pre-season, if in the Community Shield, Saliba doesn't play, I'll pick some other 4.5. What's great about the 4.5 bracket is there's bloody loads of them.
I know, it's lovely.
So you can go wherever you want with Saliba, is the reality. I've currently got Van Dijk in there just because at the beginning of last season...
Sorry, hang on. Double
Liverpool defence right now. Yeah, double Liverpool defence. And the reason I've done that is because I looked back at the beginning of last season. If I remember rightly, Liverpool had a run of about 5 or 6 games where we lost... we won a lot of games, but we would concede the odd goal.
Oh, Adrian.
To stupid mistakes. Be it Adrian or Lovren, I remember making a couple of mistakes. And I think we'll learn from that. And I think we'll go into the season, maybe not all guns blazing, because we didn't go all guns blazing at the beginning of last season. We didn't score tons of goals. I remember being second best at St Mary's game week 2 for long periods until Mane belted one in the top corner just before half time. We were a bit tentative coming into the new season. Now listen, if I watch the Community Shield and we batter Arsenal 4-0 and Salah gets hat-trick, then that's fine, he's in my team anyway. But I do think the Liverpool double defence doesn't look too bad.
I mean, last week I said if I was going to have double Liverpool defence, I'd have Virgil. And you went, no, you'd have Robbo and Trent. And then suddenly...
Listen, I've got Van Dijk because when I did the rest of the team, I only had 6.5 left. If I could have Robbo, I absolutely would.
Would you? See, 100%. I would still take Van Dijk over Robertson any day.
Would you?
Any day.
Come on. Robertson, I think, is a fantastic price point. 7 million.
Any day of the week with Alisson.
What?
If Alisson is fit all season, which hopefully this season he will be, I would have Van Dijk every single time.
Oh, well, I think you're massively wrong there. But listen, Van Dijk, or Robbo, both good picks. If you want to go all three, have all three. I think with Robbo, you've got obviously the upside, more upside potentially than Van Dijk with his headers, but then you've got the threat from set pieces and stuff. We've got a new left back. Might Robbo rotate? So, yeah, maybe Van Dijk is a better pick. I don't know. But for me, Robbo's still plenty of upside. Those double-figure hauls will come with Robbo. So if you could afford him, go for him. Double Liverpool defence right now. I think we'll go into the season tight. I think we won't concede many goals. That happened at the beginning of last season. The only goals we conceded were Worldies, Kante, I think, against Chelsea. Ings, when Adrian gave him the ball in game week 2. I can remember a lot of screw-ups.
Pookie
game week 1, where...
After Alisson had gone off.
Yeah, after Alisson had gone off and Lovren sat back too deep. I don't think any of that's going to happen. I think we're going to keep clean sheets. I've got to. Anyway, Van Dijk's my bank.
Right. Hang on. Who's up top? Because this is sounding like you've got Brewster and... Or you can't have Brewster because you've got...
I'll tell you. So Van Dijk could be the bank, right? He could easily become a 4.5 and then I can invest it somewhere else. Salah and Aubameyang in midfield. I'm pretty sure I'm going to start with those two. Yeah. Don't see me changing that.
No.
I don't. I might, but I don't. Mount we've already talked about. Suchek, despite the fixtures, I can't believe the value in this guy. They look for him in set pieces. He's good aerially. He does get forward a bit. He's 5.0 million. What else do you want?
Yeah.
The fact that when official FPL, what was it, on that Friday, wasn't it, where they released a load of prices, it was like Salah, Sterling, Bruno. It was like all these big hitters. Then right in the middle of it, Suchek. That's almost official FPL saying, we're going to give you all these big hitters. What about this guy? Look at this, 5 million, boom, have a bit of that. It's almost a bit like, this is too good to resist, isn't it? I can't believe Souček is 5 million. I think he's such a nice pick, despite the fixtures.
But the fixtures are that bad, he could not score for ages, and all of a sudden, he's 4.5.
He's a bench guy, though, isn't he?
He's 4.5, and he's lost you 0.5. That's my worry.
Just think he's...
That's
just...
why I got Livermore. He's not going to lose you 5.
Never mind Souček. Jake Livermore's the one you want.
He scores in game week one.
Souček is in there. I've got Mitrovic up front because I think he's great value at 6 million. Of course, I have all the same concerns that all of you guys will have about if he scores... He's just as likely to score as he is punch somebody and get a yellow card. And when he will frustrate you, right? Because he'll get a goal and then get booked and not get bonus points because of the booking, even though he scored a goal. He will frustrate, no doubt.
The fixtures aren't great.
The fixtures are good.
Not straight away.
Like the first 8 game weeks, we just discussed
it. Yeah, but like good. Game weeks, is it 1 and 2 or 1?
Well, listen, I think he's all right. I think he's all right. Arsenal at home, can he score against them?
I
think he can score.
Because I'll bottle the Adams thing and I'll end up with Mitrovic. You know it's going to happen.
So I think Mitrovic, Adams and West Ham, Antonio. There's 3 in a bracket there that people are really looking at. Mitrovic is in, and then it's Jimenez up front. Jimenez.
This is the one I really want.
And I'm still flip flopping between Jimenez and Ings, guys. So if you've got Ings rather than Jimenez, I'm absolutely cool with that. I do like Danny Ings. I just think Jimenez is so goddamn consistent.
Yeah,
he just gets the goals. And listen, I've got Salah and Aubameyang, and I'm probably at some stage going to have Man City as well. I'm probably going to end up taking maybe some of that Van Dijk money out to get, you know, Rashford to Bruno or something like that. If I do that, or if I have Werner or somebody else, I'm probably never going to captain Jimenez, but that's fine because I've got all these other options. But he is going to be so consistent. He's just going to tick the points over, isn't he, Jimenez? He's just going to... And the Wolves fixtures, but the first two look difficult, but then after that they look all right. You can set and forget him until the end of October, can't you? No European football, he's going to play. Wolves should be better attacking-wise with Adama Traore now fully, you know, if he keeps fit, keeps that shoulder fit. Got Daniel Pedence on the other side, Jota in behind. I think Jimenez looks really nice for me. I've got him anyway.
I'll be honest, it makes me feel physically ill not having Jimenez in my team.
Not having him. Yeah, well, listen, I've got him and I like him. I'm still between him and Ings and Werner. I don't want to go up to Kane for the reasons we've discussed before. Don't want to go up to Aguero because of the Jesus thing. So Jimenez, I do like.
So look, you're ignoring Spurs, having all of that stuff we've just said about their fixtures. You've got none.
100%.
Wow.
100%. I'm going nowhere near Spurs.
Oh, wow.
Why would you? Jose Mourinho, autocratic leader. Do you not listen to Raptor?
Should we just go back 45 minutes? And all that stuff you said about Spurs and the fixtures and everything else?
Fixtures will mean, like, Wolves had good fixtures at the start of last season and the Europa League dragged them down. I think the Europa League will drag you down.
Whatever, Bonfield.
Gedson Fernandez looking good against Ipswich does not mean I'm going to invest in Spurs. Anyway, no Spurs unless somebody starts showing some promise.
Cross my arms and glare at you with a death stare.
I've got Ferguson as my first sub. Let's see if another 4.0 comes to four. I might get him. Rashford then on the bench ready to come in. He could easily become Bruno before game week one if I don't want to do the Van Dijk thing. That's where the money might come for him. Van Dijk down to a 4.5 and then Mount to Ziyech and Rashford to Bruno is something I am still considering.
Quick question on the Liverpool defence. Gomez?
Yeah, why not? If you want.
If you're just doing the Liverpool double up at the defence because you think there's clean sheets in it.
Yeah, but there's no upside there, is there? I don't think. You know, I don't think.
No.
So it's like,
well, the upside
if you want him, fine, but...
The upside is the extra money to spend elsewhere.
Yeah, possibly. But again, you know, do you want to tie up the 3 Liverpool spots? You know, if suddenly like a... I don't know, if a Minamino or a Keita or a, you know, Thiago, because one of these players starts playing really well... You might want the flexibility to move away. I don't know. I don't. One thing putting me off Van Dijk, or maybe even Robbo, if I had the double Liverpool defence, is that having 3 Liverpool means you're unflexible. Whole point at the beginning of the season is you want to be flexible.
Yeah.
And I do think one to look out for, Keita at 5.5 this season. Eyes on him. Him and Tierney, I think, got the potential to have very good seasons. So there we go. That's my draft. And of course, Keenan Davis. Of course, Davis up front. Because...
The guy that's not going to play.
So listen, that's my team. Lots is going to change, guys, I'm sure. But the locks for me, Trent, Salah, Aubameyang, Mitrovic, Ryan probably, and Vinagre if they don't sign a left back. Locked. The ones at risk, Saliba, Suchet, Mount, Jimenez. Although I'm pretty sure on Jimenez. Pretty sure on Jimenez.
I can't believe you just bracketed Jimenez in with those other reprobates.
There we go, guys. There we go. So that's the two drafts. Plenty to discuss. Plenty that are going to change. Lots of tinkering to happen between now and the start of next season.
Mm-hmm.
What have we got? 2 weeks? So what have we got? You've got next week's live stream. And then we've got the one after that will be... Will that be game week one? Preview?
Preview, yeah.
That'll be game week one preview, ready for September the 12th kickoff.
And a couple of X's in there too.
And a couple of FPLX videos, guys. So listen, thank you very much for joining us this evening, especially those of you that have been watching us at the same time as the Champions League. Thank you for that. Or instead of the Champions League, as I said before. Super Chat's going crazy tonight. So thank you, Clarky. Thank you for Stealth Panda. Thank you to everybody that sent us Super Chats. If you're not following us on any of these media here, we're all over the place. If you want to go and subscribe to the podcast format of these live streams, if you want to go and listen to the FPLX videos as podcasts, the Raptor video, by the way, great as a video, fantastic as a podcast. If you want to listen, it's about 50 minutes. Great to listen to that for just a 50 minutes or so. Go subscribe to us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Deezer, all your favourites. And we will be back on the official FPL show and on the official FPL podcast as we get closer towards September the 12th. I suspect we might be getting a couple of phone calls, hopefully, fingers crossed, over the next few weeks about going back on there. And of course, Patreon there right at the top, patreon.com/FPL family. If you want to come and support us this season, you want access to bonus podcasts, access to the Slack community, you want to win some prizes in our Manager of the Month competitions, and if you want personal one-to-one Zoom access with either Sam or I, then go check out our three different tiers, patreon.com/FPL family. There we go, Sam. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it for another game week. Guys, thank you very much for joining us. Been a pleasure having your company. We're going to go and see whether Bayern or Paris Saint-Germain are the new European champions. Guys, until next week, hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Leave us a like before you go, and we'll see you next Sunday. Cheers.
Thanks, guys.